Brothers and sisters in Christ, on this fourth Sunday of Lent, we celebrate Laetare Sunday, means rejoice in Latin, and the liturgical color is rose, as a little break from Lent, from the normal progression of Lent. So today, you know, it's the halfway point. It's a day of rejoicing. It's still a day of the resurrection, and so we can give ourselves permission to, lighten up on our Lenten penance today. We can do something joyous, something to celebrate the resurrection today. So let's be sure and do that. As part of my homily, I would like to place before you two passages from the readings. The readings, especially this weekend, are extremely rich. They're powerful. The first is St. Paul, his letter to the Ephesians. This is from the second reading. God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And secondly, St. John. This is from the Gospel. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. In both instances, St. Paul and St. John, there are two realities, death and life. They are both speaking about spiritual death, that spiritual death brought about by serious sin. And they also both speak about eternal life, brought about by the grace of Christ that saves us. Friends, the beauty of being Christian is that God loves us and desires to forgive our sins because it's who God is. He is rich in mercy. Another part of Scripture says that God does not desire the spiritual death of the sinner, but God desires that we turn back to him and are saved by the grace, first of all, of our baptism. We're given the gift of eternal life, the possibility of eternal life, by the grace of our baptism. And secondly, when we sin, by the grace of confession. As you know, throughout Lent, I've been going through the five steps in how to make a good confession of our sins. And this morning, I'd like to cover the last two steps, namely absolution and penance. Absolution and penance. As you know, absolution is that prayer of forgiveness that the priest prays over the person at the end of confession in the name of Jesus. I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Remember that Jesus doesn't want us to have to guess whether or not we have been forgiven. He wanted us to hear it with our very ears. Those words, I absolve you. Right? To know with certainty. Yes, I know. Absolutely. I don't have to guess. I know that at that moment, my sins are no more. There are two things that happen in this moment when the prayer of absolution is prayed over us. The first is that our sins are indeed erased, right? They are destroyed. They are no more. Now, this is one of the things that sets us apart from traditional Protestant theology. Okay, and our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, traditional Protestant theology like John Calvin, okay, he was in the 16th century. Someone like John Calvin taught that when God forgives us, we remain sinners. That God just considers us holy, but doesn't really make us holy, okay? This is like John Calvin, a traditional Protestant theologian. We don't believe this. As Catholics, we believe that in the sacrament of confession, that when Jesus says those words to us through the priest, "I absolve you," something real happens. Something real happens there. That we are really absolved. That our sins are really erased. That they're really destroyed, right? We can be sure at that moment that God forgives your sins, that he heals you, and that he prepares you for heaven, right? The second thing that happens when we receive absolution is that we receive grace. We receive God's life within us. Take this for instance. If a person confesses mortal sin, God's grace is restored in that person's soul. In mortal sin, they were spiritually dead, and receiving the sacrament of confession, they are risen to new life. That grace, that life in Christ is restored. And if a person confesses only venial sins, smaller sins, they receive an increase of grace and also help not to commit those same sins in the future. So the grace of the sacrament of confession, brothers and sisters, is powerful. It's powerful. It erases our sins, but we also receive an increase or a bestowal of God's grace within us. The last step of making a good confession is to do our penance. At the end of our confession, the priest gives us a penance, usually prayers or an act of charity that we are to do. Most of the time, you know, it's something that we can do then and there in the church before we leave. Our penance is a sign of our willingness that I'm willing, Lord, to repair the harm done by my sins, right? We call this making reparation. It's repairing the harm that I've done. Remember that example, I think I gave it 2 weeks ago. When I was a little boy, I don't know how old I was, playing baseball in the house. I know, stupid. But anyway, I break the window from the inside. And mom and dad forgive me, sure. I still had to pay for the window. That's penance, you see? God forgives us, but we still have to do, we should still make an effort to repair the harm done by my sins, paying for the window. As a boy, I probably couldn't have paid for the entire window. And so our penance, likewise, we can't completely make up for our sins, right? Because in our sins, who's offended? The one that is offended is God, and God is infinite. So we can't fully make up for all the harm that our sins cause us and cause others, but we do our penance as a sign of my willingness to try. I'm going to do all that I can to repair the damage done by my sins. And our penance should be done as soon as possible after receiving the sacrament of confession. Last but not least, let us also be sure to make an act of thanksgiving after receiving confession. Just as we kneel down in silence at the end of Mass for a brief moment to thank our Lord for coming to us in the sacrament of the Holy Communion, let us not forget to make an act of thanksgiving after receiving our Lord's mercy in confession. And let us never be afraid to, you know, because this is who the Lord is. The Lord is rich in mercy. Let us always remember that. He is rich. He is overabundant, superabundant is his mercy. And his mercy, his forgiveness, is so much greater. It is infinite. It is so much greater than the worst sin that I commit. And so Jesus wants to surround us with his mercy. So let us never be afraid to approach the Lord, who is rich in mercy, who also wants to make us rich in his grace. Amen.